Hey everyone, this is Semler and you're listening to TCR.
Okay, so let's start.
Hello. Hello and welcome. Welcome back to another edition of The Center Ring, aka TCR, aka your favorite esports podcast, coming to you live, pre-recorded, from an undisclosed location. The date, 3/11 day. Because amber is the color of your energy. The time.
I see what you did there.
You like that? The time, 9 o'clock at night, Central Standard Time, in the time of year where it gets darker later. I don't know if that's daylight saving times or the other one. I'm only 28 though, so how on earth am I supposed to know that? What episode is this? 147, coming to you live. Oh, I said that already. Boy. It's this whole day, night, the sun went up late. I'm lost. Just follow us on social media, shall you? It's at The Center Ring on Twitter. We stream live on Twitch, on Facebook via Watch Phantom, and Twitter via that. So, of course, if you're watching right now, you already know that. And if you're not watching, what are you doing? Catch the show live. You can be in chat, be part of the conversation, give your opinions. We would love it. Let's introduce the crew. My name is Tim. Hello. I am one of your captains for this journey into esports. Alongside me, as always, my two best friends in the whole wide world. You have Anuj. Hello, Anuj.
Would I be your first mate?
Yeah. Just because you're a minority and I have to meet the quota, right. You would be my
there
first
you go.
Mate.
Well, then, hello to you too, Tim. How are you?
You're my first mate by Rudy rule.
I'll take it.
Oh,
we get how I get it.
And we have my second mate. We have Brett.
I hate you.
And that's only because your goatee.
Sound good, man.
That's only because your goatee.
Sound good, second mate.
Oh my god, yeah. I don't even want to be a mate. Mate. Okay.
Update on my computer room situation. Last week, I was sitting on the floor. My back was numb by this time. And because I gave my wife my computer desk and didn't realize that the one I wanted wasn't in stock at IKEA, so I was like, sure, I'll order it, no problem, what can go wrong, it'll be here in a week. Foolish me, because something does go wrong all the time. So if you're watching, you can obviously see I'm not on the floor, but you can also see behind me desk number 2 still sitting there upside down. Why is it upside down, you ask? It's because they forgot a leg. And let me tell you what, a table is pretty useless without 4 legs. So, still don't really have my office set up, but it's set up enough for me to do the show, which is really all that matters, I guess.
A lot better than last week. You were laying Kate Winslet in Titanic. You were like, paint me like one of my French girls, the way your legs were out to the side. Like,
bro, my back was so numb after the show last week. Is that normal or is it because I'm fat? You know?
No, you're out of shape.
That's something I need the listeners to tell me.
Like, people do yoga for like hours.
Sitting. Yeah. Yeah.
Not about that life, fam.
No, I'll just buy a chair. That's much easier.
It's much, much.
Oh boy, do we have a show for you today. In fact, it might be the best one yet. That's what I forgot to say in the intro when I repeated it. We have the state of Overwatch. A listener asked us last week, I believe, hey, without the major going on right now, you should do a state of Overwatch. And we're like, hey, that's a pretty good idea because we got nothing else to talk about. So we'll talk about that later in the show. Kind of have a two-parter because I think you can have a conversation of state of Overwatch League and state of Overwatch. And we could talk about both from an esports perspective. I think the way that Overwatch is, I mean, it's pretty much all built around the league anyway. So it's a package deal. I don't think you can have one without the other. So we're going to talk about that later on in the show. We'll have e-news to finish everything up again, our weekly segment of stories we just don't have time to get to. I will, before we get into some Call of Duty drama, the CWL roster mania is happening before CWL Fort Worth. Before we get into that, little show, state of the show, now that I do have my office set up, we will be working on a lot more YouTube content. So if that's your thing, go ahead and follow us on YouTube. You can find the link and everything, our website, tcr.gg, also on our Twitter and all that fun stuff. Our Discord even, I think, has the link in there. So go ahead and do that. The podcast is still going to be the podcast, though. So if all you care about is our weekly show, perfectly fine. You're not going to miss out on any of that. So there's that. But getting on with the content, because that's what people are here for. Let's talk a little bit about this CWL roster mania, shall we? CWL Fort Worth is this upcoming weekend. Spoiler alert, we won't be there, even though we live within 20, 30 minutes of the convention center. They asked us, and we were like, look, guys, we just can't. You know, they were like, please, we need you. And we were like, oh, come on, guys, you don't need us. We'll just, we would steal the show. So we took the high ground and said, we're going to back off on CWL Fort Worth.
Like, thanks, but no thanks.
Yeah.
So that went down.
Either that, totally. Or they didn't email us back. So, or maybe I archived the email and we could never find it.
That okay. Also can happen.
That could happen. If you archive those sneaky archived emails, can't find them. No, it happened. It happened last year too. It was kind of, I don't know who runs the email account at Call of Duty or MLG or whoever runs it, but maybe they got hit with those budget cuts at Activision. I don't know, because no one responded. But that's okay, because that doesn't mean we can't talk about it. Still lots of fun drama going on. I don't know where you guys want to start. Do you guys want to start with the Accelerate? Do you want to start with some of the smaller moves?
I think getting into Accelerate, just because that's really been the topic of interest, just going through social media, it's been talked about, I mean, from people from all segments of esports, right? It hasn't just been limited to COD in that sense. You've had people chime in from all different sectors, and that deserves a lot of it.
Is right. It's bigger than just the COD scene. The way this all went down, it's a more of a ethic discussion than anything.
Yeah, like COD seems a little bit more amateur though in how their esports are run compared to, and I know that's changing. Like, and we can get into that even. You know, like that's all changing now. But it feels very amateur.
We're one season removed of an owner sleeping with a player's girlfriend. So yeah, I would say it's pretty amateur.
Yeah, but you know, like you compare it to like Overwatch, obviously, compared to Counter-Strike, League of Legends, Dota, like COD seems to be like the amateur leagues when it comes to how their esports scene is run. And maybe that's just the part of MLG being in charge for as long as they have been, and not really need, like, there's not a need for them to implement everything. Things are working fine for them. They still get to host all their tournaments and do all that, but
there's zero competition involved, right? They play on console. Right. Other than you can say Gears and Halo and all that. Okay. But let's be
sure. Where have they been though? You know, like it's pretty non-existent.
Yeah.
So this is
the scale of it all.
This touched a lot of people, and this was with Accelerate Gaming, you know, and they're a team that earned a pro league spot. Five, you know, mix of veteran and younger players on this team. But essentially these guys got into an issue here where they made their pro league spot. Obviously, teams were looking to sign them. They were offered an opportunity after, I think, playing through a couple of 2Ks by a organization called Accelerate Gaming. I think his name is Justin Tan, is the owner of that team. Mm-hmm. Company kind of built from dad's hard work in that sense. And this kid's a college student trying to run an esports organization. And he really put them in a tough spot. Like, he got them to sign these contracts, which was a super basic contract from what we understand. We haven't seen the contract, so kind of take that with a grain of salt, but fairly basic drafted up contract. And
one of the players described it as something you could just like Google and print off, you know, like a PDF of
generic basic contract. Player contract.
Yeah.
And I believe it. And we've discussed this before on the show that just because someone throws owner or CEO in their Twitter bio doesn't mean that they know how to do it, right? I mean, being an owner, being a CEO is just like any other job. You have people that are really good at it and you have people that are really bad at it. And in esports, it's not that uncommon to find these super young owners of teams, right? Like people that are barely older than the players that they're signing. This guy is still in college, you know? So
yeah, still in, yeah.
I say that to paint the picture and to reinforce a new just comment of like, it's just a immature scene. Not saying like, you know, they laugh at dick jokes or anything, but it's just
as anyone that has money can like get in pretty easily, when that's not really the case. Even with like Counter-Strike, it's super tough to get into Counter-Strike at a very competitive level because rosters don't move around the way they do in Call of Duty. Mm-hmm. And so it's a year-to-year game, right? So like you're not looking at long-term commitments. Most commitments are like 6 months to a year. And so these guys signed a contract for like $5,000 a month, I guess is what it was supposed to be. It was $2,500 every 2 weeks. They signed, you know, the first payment was supposed to come. It ended up being like a delayed payment by 5-6 days. And even after all that, they got paid half the money or even less than what they were supposed to get. These guys obviously were having issues internally within their team with a player, Ethan. They had a lot of issues going on internally, so I think the ownership even felt a little hesitant in terms of what was going on because they were underperforming it, you know, for a period of time. And then I guess he sold the team, right, to Wildcard.
Well, the way that it went down was, and this comes from an interview that he did with VP Esports, Justin Tan. He said that the intent, from reading the article, the intent all along, which he kind of contradicts himself in the middle of that interview as well, but he says the idea the whole time was to build this to sell the spot eventually. So yeah, they did sell it to Wildcard, and then Wildcard ended up backing out and saying, hey,
because he didn't give them the player salaries.
Yeah, exactly. They were like, hey, we can't afford this. Go about your way. And then I guess the whole player aim it issue came from them trying to figure out why Wildcard didn't pay like the 3 days worth of salary.
Oh my.
To these players. They were trying to figure that out. So you're like, oh, so let me get this right.
So you're delaying
Their payment because of 3 days that they were under Wildcard.
It's like, dude, you can just take that money out of the check. Just give me the rest of it.
But if you want to dive even more, and he goes into it just talking about how he wasn't able to subsidize, you know, player salaries with what he was bringing in and income for the team. But he said that a lot of this income comes from sponsorships that they couldn't get. So cart before the wheel, right? Like, shouldn't, before you think about getting players and diving into CWL, don't you think you should have a sponsor or two behind you start paying your players $5,000 a month?
His mindset was, hey, I own a pro league spot. Mm-hmm. I have a pro Call of Duty team. It's going to be easy to get sponsors.
Like, I've read all these articles how esports is worth $1 billion. It's going on a trillion. How hard can it be to get these fat sponsorships? They should be coming to me to sponsor my team.
They should be throwing mouses at my face left and right and making me do lines of G Fuel up and down the sidewalk there. You know, like, I mean, so I think this guy got in over his head. When he got these players back from Wildcard, this is where it gets crazy, is he was trying to renegotiate contracts with them, dropping it from like 5,000 to rumors are as low as like 3,000 a month, which is way underpaid for a pro league team. Like, you know, it might sound like a lot to some of you out there, but it's not. It's not a lot, like, in terms of what they're making compared to their peers. And that's important. That's how, you know, these contracts should be made, is based on where you're at and what you've done.
That's 36,000 a year. That's worse than like a warehouse job, right? Or
Yeah, I mean, it's not a lot, and especially it's not a lot for like what, you know, they're supposed to be doing versus what their peers are making. Well, this will all take a sideways turn here, is because they've shown logs and communication of basically the owner holding them hostage or blackmailing them in a sense over the contract, saying, hey, if you don't sign these contracts at this reduced rate, I'm just going to release all five of you. And that's also thanks to MLG recently changing a rule where you no longer have to have 3 of 5 on a team. Think of it like a Counter-Strike major, like team, you have to have 3 of 5 players from the previous group in order to hold that slot. They changed it. You don't have to have any. The pro team, the team owns the spot. So this guy's holding it over him, saying, hey, I'm just going to release you guys. Screw it. I'll go pick up another team just to fill this, you know, fill my pro league team or whatever. And so this is where it got nasty, you know?
It's a real shame too, because I know a lot of people are going like yelling at MLG, like, how could you have this rule in place? It's a ridiculous rule. And it's like, I don't think that's what they had in mind when designing that rule. I don't think
that's bad. That's a dumb rule not to think about that. Yeah. I did not think about that as something that would happen. I mean, it's you just put all the power went into the team's hands at that point to be able to negotiate better and saying, hey, I mean, it's just something that even if they had positives in the mindset of going into it, they should have seen this was a huge, like, glaring issue that could happen.
So more to Tim's point, I mean, yeah, MLG, I guess you got to think, like, just best case scenario, you know, that give people the benefit of the doubt, right? But when you're talking about business, you have to realize people are terrible. And there's always going to be people like this that are going to find a loophole and a way to make money. And it affects people. I mean, there are 5 players right there that are just like, guys, you know, playing in this pro league could open up other doors for us.
It even affects more than that too, though. If you look at like selling a spot completely, right? Like Accelerate, they're a small org with a kid as their owner, right? But heaven forbid this was a larger org just looking to get out of Call of Duty. They have coaches, they have staff members behind them to promote Call of Duty, and then all of a sudden they bail out. I think, and this is all hypothetical speaking, I think MLG's intention with a rule like this was to get as close to franchising without franchising, right? They're giving it to where the team will always be in the league and those fans can always expect to have those teams there and not necessarily the players running the show, which we see happen in some games. It's not the way it worked out. I think... Because, you know, it's all
franchising is coming next year anyway.
Well, and that's what I'm saying. So franchise is, for all intents and purposes, coming next season, right?
And
so I think for those people who are anti-franchising in esports, this completely goes against that crowd, right? If anything, this is really supporting that franchise tag, because if they run it anything like the Overwatch League, which I assume they will because it's... the overhead company is the same company. They are the rules in Overwatch League are really designed to where this never happens to the players. Like the players are the first things being taken care of before the teams in Overwatch League, in my opinion.
Well, yeah. I mean, just to kind of talk about, you know, what the Overwatch League pros get, there's a minimum salary of, I think it's like 50,000, right? These guys have 401k plans, you know, like a retirement setup. I mean, the first year is rough with playing time. They voiced their displeasure and it changed this year for the better for them. So yeah, I mean, franchising is good. But to kind of bring it back to Accelerate, and in this interview, the guy said that, yeah, and this goes back to the contradicting, because he, in one part, he said that he was going to end up selling the spot. But I guess to make himself look good, he's like, yeah, you know, we knew franchising was happening and we had every intent to have a franchise spot next year. I was like, dude, You so can't pay your players, but you're going to afford a franchise spot?
So part of it is tied to it, but the thought process was this was part of the blackmail spot. So the extensions that he wanted these players to sign not only was less value, but it was longer in duration. And by that, I mean it added an initial 6 months to the contract, which put them into next year's game. Now, what he wanted from this as an owner is the ownership rights to these players so he could sell them to teams that did have franchise spots, because he wasn't getting one. Let's be real. Like, there was no chance of Accelerate Gaming getting a franchise spot. But if he owned the rights to players, he could make money off of these players by having to sell them to teams with franchising spots. The players, fortunately enough, were smart enough to recognize this and were like, no, we don't want any contracts beyond this season. Like, this is, you know, what the original contract was. Why don't we just like uphold this? And he's like, well, like, no, I'm, you know, basically I'm not going to do it. So anyways, long story short here, what ended up happening is they all, you know, left the team. Believe as a unit, I think all of them are gone, if I'm not mistaken. There was four of them. A fifth is no longer with them, but these guys were taken care of by Hashtra, man. Like, he stepped up in a big way here. He offered to buy them a team pass, which allows them to attend and participate in the event.
Hashtra, owner of Team Envy, for those who don't know.
Friend of the show.
Best friend of the show.
Best friend of the show. Yeah, so, I mean, yeah, he stepped up, man. He bought a team pass for them. He's bringing them in. I'm assuming they're probably using Envious's facilities over here for practicing and all that purposes, but that's awesome that at least there's, like, a somewhat of a good ending, I mean, to a really ugly story. The story, by all means, I don't think is over, because Accelerate is still, like, participating. You know, they picked up a new squad, so not really sure. I don't really know, understand what's going to happen. I don't know what's going to come out of this. I mean, either players just need to be more aware. Will MLG do something? The players did go to MLG directly during all these negotiations and told them what was happening. And MLG said, we can't do anything about it. So I don't know what they would do or what the reaction will be from this, other than, you know, people are now aware.
Go ahead. I'll give you last thoughts on it, Britt.
Part of me would love to just be at that event and see how, you know, one, the former Accelerate players kind of handle the situation and how they're able to play after that, but also the team that Accelerate picked up, those guys are going to play in Pro League, right? So, or how are they going to be treated? Because essentially they're scabs, right? Like,
yeah, I mean, they're playing in the Fort Worth tournament, so they'll be there, and they're probably going to play a lot of their old teammates. So that's going to be interesting to see what happens.
Some other things that didn't happen: everyone thought E-United was going to make some roster moves based off of Clayster's tweets and just in general kind of drama that goes on with him. Nothing though it happened with E-United. They switched up some bench players and substitutes, but nothing big deal. Attach is back. Former FaZe Clan player, he is back. He's been on the desk communicating quite a bit, so kind of surprised, actually. Normally, once you get on the desk...
Attach is playing with Evil Geniuses, but he's on loan. Yes. So he's not...
Okay, so it's just loan. EG. Okay. All right, that makes more sense. Right, that makes more sense. I was like, I thought he was on the desk for life. So, nonetheless, CWL Fort Worth, it should still be exciting. Despite us not being there, don't let that affect your tournament. All right, still enjoy it, please. Don't let us stop you from enjoying what could have been a great thing is now a good thing. You know, don't let that stop you. Let's get into some Overwatch talk, though. The state of Overwatch. I'll take this time to do a little chat update in the show. Corey Miller in Facebook answers the question, is Overwatch dead? He says yes, but Blizzard itself is dying.
Ooh, that's deep.
That's very deep. Bold claim, and we can actually even talk a little bit about Blizzard, because I think, again, it all goes hand in hand. Michael also states that he's new to the YouTube live stream, but it looks way better than Twitch, and I will agree with you. Other than the fact that it's impossible to find streams on YouTube is pretty on point. So let's get into the Overwatch, state of Overwatch talk. And like I said, it can really be a two-parter. We can start with Overwatch League. We can start with the game. We can throw Blizzard in there. You know, we can mush it all together. I don't know where you guys wanted to go with it.
I guess just start with the game itself.
I'll start with the game itself. Look, the game has been out for, I think, what? This May will be 3 years, if I'm doing my math correctly. 3 or 4 years.
Right.
It's crazy how long the game's been out. And it really doesn't feel like that, right? People are still... Let me see. Overwatch release date. 2016. So this. May 24th will be 3 years. We have seen the game go through countless of patches and reworks. Some heroes aren't even recognizable. If you've never played, like if you played day one and then go play today, the game is completely different. Even from beta. Like I remember I got into Overwatch League in the private beta, like early access beta. It's almost embarrassing that I'm not a pro for how easy it would have been back in the day to find a team.
So you were one of the 50,000?
Yeah, I was. But the game's completely different. I do think that's some credit to Overwatch League. I do think Blizzard listens to the pros and casuals when it comes to it. I think if I just had to give a broad answer right now to start the segment, I would say the state of Overwatch is that it is pretty darn good. I think people get a little hysterical with it. I think you have the people who are just anti-Overwatch people for whatever reason. Much like you have people who are anti-League of Legends and anti-Dota and anti, you know, it's the games up top are going to have their haters, right? People hate Fortnite. You know, I'm one of them. Never liked the game. But I acknowledge that it was also succeeding without me. And Overwatch is the same way. Now, that doesn't mean that it's not perfect. There's definitely a lot that has to change with the game. And I think it has to change soon. Not to save the hardcore fans. I think they're always going to be there. But I think it's the casual fans that are quickly moving on to other games.
Is that because the competitive play is not an enjoyable experience for most
That's
people?
That's 100% because competitive play is not an enjoyable experience.
I tried to come back and play the game. I think y'all probably even kind of noticed it just a few months back. As you know, I was trying to, I was like, you know, let me do this again. Like, let me get back into it. Like, Brett and Tim played a lot. Like, I think I'll enjoy it, yada, yada, yada. So I did. I got back into it for quite some time. I mean, I was playing it by myself. I think that says enough, you know, for the games that we tend to play. I was playing it alone and trying to get back into it. I didn't like the competitive. I enjoyed casual play, honestly, or quick play, whatever it's called, right, more than competitive play. I almost feel like everybody honestly worked together a little bit more because there was, I don't know if it's because nothing was on the line or like, you know, people were so hell-bent on doing what they want to do in competitive play because they only know one thing and
they all think that they're the best strat. Like,
well, and then there's no like way to queue for like a skill set type area, you know, like if you know, maybe X number of tanks have to queue for your match or healers or whatever, support players. But I just, I think the competitive needs some sort of work, but I think we've all seen that it also doesn't have to be perfect. Like Counter-Strike's MM is garbage, right? For the most part, like most people don't use their MM. So, I mean, it can work without having a good one, but that's one thing that hinders it because it really hasn't been good from the start. You know, like it hasn't attracted people.
Well, in that sense. I'll say one thing on your point too, because in any game, solo queuing sucks, right? Like hands down, solo queue is going to suck always more than playing with friends. It's just the way gaming and life is. But that being said, Blizzard needs to, they have to do something to support that solo queuer. I think for the longest time, they were always so anti-restrictions. You know, when Overwatch first came out, you could play the same hero that or same character someone else is playing. Like, I shit you not. Well, family show, my bad. The meta, the old meta used to be two Tracers, two Winstons, two Lucios. That was the actual pro meta in Overwatch. And everyone said, this is ridiculous. It has to change. And you know what Blizzard originally said? Not going to happen. Not going to happen.
This is how we designed it.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. They pulled the most Blizzard answer and said, we know what's best for you, the fan, the listener. This is how we designed the game. This is how it's going to be played. And I think maybe after... It didn't last long at all. Before they even introduced ranked play, they were like, yeah, this sucks. No one likes it. We got to change.
And to their credit, they've kind of caved to fan pressure too. I mean, there have been characters in the game, or heroes in the game, that have been totally reworked. Mercy, you know, just being ridiculous with her
Symmetra,
you know, her res, or yeah, Symmetra. So to their credit, they've listened. But just to get on the topic of, you know, just the state of just getting into competitive play, I mean, I would say that Overwatch is probably the one game out. Well, I mean, there's several games out there, but it is a game that's really dependent on team play. And like you said, Tim, solo queue is a nightmare because you don't know. Yeah, they put in a system where you can queue as a support and then, you know, there you go. But I mean, but I can't count how many games that
system.
No one uses it. No one uses it because they didn't advertise it very well. But and it's not very functional. But I can't tell you how many times I'm in a support. I get into a match and it's like, what's your main? Support you, support you, support. It's like, oh well, this is gonna be fun.
So now you have three supports and someone has to play McCree or a DPS and they're like, I don't know what I'm doing with my hands right now. Like, I don't know what you want me to do. And people have been begging for a queue system, saying like, look, Blizzard, I'm okay waiting 5-10 minutes for a game if you're a DPS player, just like in WoW. Right? If you're a DPS and you're in a raid finder, it's going to be a longer experience than if you were a healer or a tank because there's just more people playing it, right? But there's been hints, like Jeff has been hinting that, hey, there's changes on the way. Maybe now we can play with a queue system when forever they have been anti-queue system.
Yeah. And so I'm going to just kind of build off of competitive play. I mean, me and you, we played a six-man the other day, and it's beautiful. Like, the communication, the teamwork, and quick play. But, I mean, if we were to take that over to competitive,
it
would have probably been a similar experience.
Yeah.
You know, hey, let's run goats. We're all running goats. You know, just communicating, sticking with each other. We did, you know, pirate ship. We all stay together. But, a lot of people were like, oh, goats, terrible meta. But, I mean, you watch the Pro League right now. You watch Overwatch. Not Overwatch, but you watch Owl. And it's an enjoyable experience because it's impressive to watch. Just the teamwork involved. And I think a queue system would fix that.
They have to do something, like I said, for that solo queue, for that casual player. And when I say casual, I mean people like you, Anuj, right? Where you're a casual Overwatch player, but you also want to win. I'm not talking about the casual who is just
playing for fun.
Yeah, playing for fun, or just the guy who might hop in once a week on a, you know, play a game here and there and just never care about teamwork or anything, right? You when you're there, you're gonna try, you're gonna want to win. And they need to do something for those people. I mean, to your point, Brett, we played last night with a group of buddies. Our SRs were all over the place, right? We had one guy 1600 and I think I was the highest at like 2900 or something like that. So we couldn't queue competitive. So we went to say, hey, we have six, let's just go mess around and quick play. And it's so sad that like that's when we actually get the most teamwork, right? And it just goes to show SR isn't everything. Our buddy who's 1600 and is god awful was still able to play competently with us who was just working as a team. You know, and now part of this is just human nature, right? When Overwatch first came out, everyone said the game was going to be different and everyone was going to be friendly playing it. That was a lie.
That's not how any games are, though.
No, that's not
that's
how
just
it is.
Online gaming.
Like, so yeah, like I said, the game is definitely flawed. I think where if you did want to play the game, it was supposed to be like it was supposed to be played, like with goats. And even though you don't like that meta right now, it is the meta, like it or not, and it's way the most 90% of the time it should be played. I could promise you, even if you don't like the meta, it is still more fun playing that way. Because everyone's working together as a team. The issue is all of it's in pugs. It's all going into people's Discords or Reddit and just finding, you know, 12 mans to go play on, which is always a huge issue with Counter-Strike, right? Is the fact that everyone's using private rooms. Now, the one thing Counter-Strike has going for it is like they allow for like the third party people to do that.
The third-party communities in Counter-Strike are fantastic.
Yeah,
right? Like
let's be real. ECA, like... The third-party community is is a huge factor in Counter-Strike. If
100%.
If Valve shut Counter-Strike down, like Blizzard shuts down any type of third-party with Overwatch or Overwatch League, you'd be singing a much different tune to Counter-Strike.
Yeah, so and that's the kind of the benefit for on Counter-Strike's end is the developers know better in that sense. Like, okay, these guys are doing the labor for us, right? Mm-hmm. They're managing the Elo system, they're managing the 128 tick servers, like they take care of all the customer service complaints. Like that's all for them to handle. We don't have to touch it, right? We could just sit back and keep the player base that way. My question with Overwatch, I think the long-term question is, will it be to a point where it's bigger than it is now? Right. And if you said that even at the launch of next year, I think you've seen growth going into year two. I think the question is, like, how do you bring in, like, if you bring me as the example, how do you draw somebody like me back in? It's really hard at this point because our attention spans are so short. Right. There's like so many games that come out now frequently. If it doesn't like grab me kind of from the start, it's very rare that I go back to a game a second time.
Solo, you're never going to come back. You know, you are never going to just be like, you know what I really feel like doing? Grinding Overwatch, right? But I think with friends and everything like that, like if me and Brett, because we still play almost on a nightly basis, right? We still play every day. Is like if we're like, dude, Anuj, come in. They've really fixed it up. We can play comp together now. You can queue as this. It's just a more enjoyable experience. It might make it to where there are people who are at least more willing to play with their friends, right? That's really what it is. It's just finding people that are willing to play. Not everyone has to be a hardcore player who plays the game 100 hours a week and trying to get into Overwatch League. Thankfully, I think, and I would love to see the player counts for it when Overwatch League goes on. Because I do think they kind of have that built-in yearly hype cycle. Like when Overwatch League kicks in, you kind of get those, much like we do with a Counter-Strike, right? You watch a major, and typically Counter-Strike is the game we're playing for the next week or so. And if we wanted to kick it over to Overwatch League, I mean, the state of Overwatch League, in my opinion, dude, I think it's strong. I think the Overwatch League is really... For the second season overall, I think the Overwatch League is doing just fine.
Yeah, I mean, it could be Mayhem versus Shanghai. I mean, Shanghai has their huge fan following from their 0-40 season, but I mean, it could be those two teams playing each other, and it's still going to draw like 130,000 people, which is pretty impressive for a game that's played, what, 4 nights a week?
Yeah. Yeah, they've
so,
and again, I think we're not naive to the fact that there are issues with the league, right? I'm not naive to the fact that Blizzard is making budget cuts and laying off people and everything. I totally get that, but I also understand that there's a side to business that isn't always keeping everyone around. You know, I think Blizzard kind of is obviously with Activision's influence is changing the way they do their business model. I don't think they're focusing as many times as in-house. I think they are somewhat prepping for when teams start moving home and they don't have to keep a Blizzard Arena operating with a full staff all the time, right? A lot of the responsibilities that Blizzard is handling, I think, right now are going to be pushed on teams for when they start doing home and home.
Yeah, and see, that's interesting because, and we've talked with our buddy Alchemist about, you know, what it would entail or why they couldn't do home at home this year. And he said it's just too expensive. Like, the setup to go from city to city to city is too expensive. So there's something to that, Tim, where much like the Mavs broadcast, you know, Dallas Mavericks are, you know, basketball team here in Dallas. They have their own group that does their games and so on and so on and so on. So, yeah, there's probably something to that where teams are going to assume the responsibility of, hey, you need to figure out production. Yeah. Maybe.
Like I said, I don't know. I also think there's a realistic expectation, you know, like this is the second league or second season for Overwatch League. I don't think it has to be NFL level of operation to be considered a success, you know. I don't think it ever has to be that way, but that's my attitude towards esports in general, right? Everyone loves comparing esports to, oh, we're the next NFL, guys, watch out. And I'm just like, look, I guess I'm not comparing it to the NFL. I'm comparing it to, you know, Overwatch League Season 1 or to other esports out there. And from a fan perspective, I think it's doing... I don't see how it could be doing any better, right? For a game that everyone is saying is dying, it's very interesting that it could still pull in 120,000 views every single game.
Yeah, I mean, for a current meta that a lot of people are saying is the worst meta that the game has seen, which I think is kind of drastic, viewership's still there and it's getting better. So, yeah, I mean, people are going to watch.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a credit to the league.
Yeah.
Do they have like a 10-year plan for Overwatch type thing, or is this something where you'll see an Overwatch 2 in like 5 years?
Well, I would. Oh, for the actual game, I think the game is here to stay. I mean, it's gonna maybe be tweaked a little bit like CS, but I mean, aesthetically,
but even CS has had several iterations of the game.
Right.
Like I think what you'd be looking at more so, Nuge, is like think of like a Dota 2, where they had that huge like what was the engine upgrade that it did.
So they'll do like a facelift at some point.
Yeah. I mean, eventually I think you're going to see a facelift where kind of like WoW. Think of WoW, right? They did a complete facelift and everything like that.
Blizzard kind of seems to do that, right? Like they hang on to their game for quite some time. So it's just interesting because games in our minds nowadays tend to have a lifespan, right? Like before it becomes outdated and this is something new, you know, like...
I mean, look at if you want to say right now, Overwatch has kind of surpassed that normal game lifespan, right? To be this popular, you know, 3 years in is kind of impressive.
And to kind of tie it back to a game that we just talked about in Call of Duty, I mean, that game is built on just like graphically looking amazing and modern and, you know, realistic, right? That's totally not what Overwatch is. Like, it's cartoony graphics that aesthetically is just going to be able to stand the test of time. I mean, no one plays Counter-Strike because of the extreme like realism and detail of players, right? Like no one plays it for that. They play it because the gameplay is. So I think ultimately, and I think there's a long-term plan because I don't think owners would have paid that large buy-in to a game that could maybe change like COD, right? Because exactly. And if the game changes drastically, I would be scared as an owner. Like, are people going to find, are players, are fans, are they going to find this entertaining? And is it going to be able to sustain? So I think the game's here to stay for a while, at least.
Like, just like VHS and DVD, do you think porn is what's driving the Overwatch League game?
Now, that's an interesting point you bring up here, because I have a pretty solid theory onto the Overwatch League character release pattern, and it's to secretly fund Blizzard's Rule 34 cartoon porn fetish. Let me tell you what.
We're never getting invited to an Overwatch.
Just Google Overwatch porn and you tell me what sells, okay?
Dang, you are not very family friendly tonight, Tim.
I cannot wait to go on Tim's computer and see like ads popping up on the side.
Go look at his history.
All the websites.
Pull up your desktop.
Sorry, I'm the only one who does research for the show, apparently. Okay. I'm going to do some more research after the show too.
This is the man that researched penis pics for like an hour. I forget what it was about. What was it about? It was
some Dota player sent a penis pic to someone and it got leaked. And I just really tried to find it and I couldn't.
He'll do anything for the show. What a guy.
All I'm saying, lot of new female Overwatch characters, okay? A lot of female ones that just happen to also, not look that bad in cosplay.
They have something for everybody, even Soldier.
Yeah. Even Orisa, if you're into that robot stuff.
There's a demographic for everything.
So overall, I think Overwatch League is where it wants to be. I would love to talk to like some high up there and be like, what was your expectations for season two and have you met them? I would have to imagine they would say yes. The fact that there's more parity this season too, right? Like they've added more teams and it's not just, you know, last year it was pretty obvious who was going to be the best and worst pretty much after stage one. And here there are still lots of questions, right? And we're coming up to the end of stage one.
And parity is good. That's what you want in your league. I mean, that's why Counter-Strike is, Overwatch has their Astralises of the world too in NYXL and kind of a surprise in Vancouver. But you look at 3 through 17 and all of those teams at week four are kind of right there.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't know who's going to be in a playoff spot beyond two.
And then Overwatch, the game itself, disclaimer, I still play it every day. So I still like the game. I don't want to, I think the game needs work, right? If you want my honest opinion, it can be a miserable time playing the game. Most of the time after I'm done playing Overwatch, I'm really not happy with the experience. But that's mainly because, again, solo queuing in comp. At this stage, I seriously play my placement games, and then I'll go play quick play, or I'll go play pugs with 12 mans and people who want to play the game it's supposed to be played. So, yes, it's still fun if you can find a 12-man pug that is SR balanced and willing to play and everything there. Solo queuing, or even like just queuing with your friends in comp, that's not a six-man queue, is a miserable experience, and it has to get worked on because you're going to lose those casual solo duo queues. You're going to lose those players before you know it. And if the player base is hurting, then that's going to trickle eventually to the Overwatch League, and then you're just going to see it fade away. That's years down the road, I'm saying, don't take that and run with it, being like, oh my
Overwatch
gosh.
League dying today.
You heard it here first. And most importantly, the underground Overwatch League porn industry through the roof. It's never been stronger.
The ceiling is the roof.
Really. I mean, the possibilities are endless on where Blizzard wants to take that. So really interested to see where it's going. Can't wait to see how, maybe the next hero announcement, an animal or something. I don't know. I feel like that market's missing
furry.
Out. Yeah, maybe get a furry in there, okay? That's something Blizzard's got to think about that.
Sonic Fox.
They got to think about that.
Make Sonic Fox a hero in Overwatch.
It'd be fitting.
Yeah. Good times.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you know what? Let's do this. Before we get into e-news, I'll always do this too, because that's always a good discussion topic. If you play Overwatch, or more importantly, because again, Brett and I are biased because we play still on a regular basis, I want to hear from, if you play Overwatch, what do you think of the current game state? And a real one, right? Like, think, what do you think of the game? Don't play comp and then immediately tell me what you think, because then you're going to say you hate it and you want to kill yourself, because I totally understand that. And then more importantly, I think if you're a viewer of Overwatch, right? If you don't play, you just watch the Overwatch League. What do you think of the game as a pure viewer standpoint?
You think there's a lot of viewers out there that don't play but watch Overwatch League?
I don't know.
I don't think so. I think that number would be very small. It's way too complicated.
Do you think that's in general just esports?
No, I think shooters are a lot easier. Like somebody could watch Call of Duty and have a general idea, except the fact that it's so fast-paced. I think Counter-Strike, that's one of the beauties of the game, is it's a very... Yeah.
But like League of Legends and Dota.
League of Legends, very difficult. Dota, very difficult. I think at the same time, Overwatch is...
I would almost find
Overwatch,
it impossible.
To me, is more difficult to follow than like a League of Legends or like a traditional MOBA. Like I think
really?
It's more... just because a MOBA, I at least have an overhead view and can follow...
True.
What people are doing. Where in Overwatch, even when that's happening, it's still controlled chaos. Like how it's how it looks to a
right.
viewer if you didn't play. So I'd even be more curious. Are there, you know, do we have listeners that are viewers of Overwatch but just don't play the game? And have you ever played the game or you know, what your scenario yeah. is? So I'd just kind of be
curious.
Because
that would really also be like a difference maker in the state of Overwatch League, right? Because if there's a number of people who say, yeah, never played the game, but I still watch the league, I enjoy it. That would speak a lot of volume to how the league is doing. Because if you got that, I mean, if you have non-players watching your league, then, I mean, that's pretty much what, that's money right there. You just made it. So, curious. Let us know on Twitter, at The Center Ring, or in our Discord, or in any of the chats online that we stream on. Let us know what you think. All right. Let's get into some e-news, shall we? Brought to you by Spaceman Company. Again, friends of the show. They make t-shirts. They make sweatshirts. I'm sure they're coming out with more in the summer. Maybe some tank tops. But hit them up on Twitter, at Spaceman Company. Good group of dudes over there, friends of the show. Tell them TCR sent you. A little bit of post-roster or post-major roster mania in CSGO.
Beautiful, isn't it?
It's kind of picked up a little bit.
You want to run with it?
Go for it.
You got Mouse Sports. Like, this is probably the biggest story coming out right now is Mouse Sports rumored to have their roster in place. Poor Chris J. Like, this guy... I say poor Chris J, not really. The guy has been benched twice and brought back on two different occasions. And so now the rumored lineup for Mouse Sports going forward, Chris J and Ropes, those are the two returning players. In addition to Woxic, who is coming from Hellraisers, Kerrigan, obviously the well-known in-game leader, and then Frozen is like a EU young sensation player. Like he plays amazing in FPL, always ranked really high. There's some crazy videos out there of him, like a very talented up-and-coming player. I think that's cool because Rops has kind of transitioned out of that up-and-coming player to a star player role, I think. And now you have, you know, this guy underneath. And so a good mix of senior leadership and Chris J and Kerrigan, star power with Rops and Woxic, and then having Frozen come in. I think that's just going to be something
even then, Woxic
cool to
is
see.
Kind of up-and-coming.
Yeah, same kind of thing, right? Like, he's closer to be considered, like, star potential, obviously, than Frozen is.
Never on this level, though. Right, he was star potential, but not constantly in like tier one. He's in tier one now.
Correct.
Like he's with the big boys on a consistent basis now.
And all of this is basically waiting to be announced on Sunny's departure to Cloud9. So Sunny is currently on Mount Sports' roster. That transition looks like it's taking place. A lot of this is rumored by like Decay and a lot of these guys, but Sunny to Cloud9 looks like it's going to be happening. And happening soon. So as soon as that transfer takes place, the new roster for Mouse will be announced.
Man, I'm so excited for that. That is going to be... I think that might be where Rops is finally having a team around him.
Man.
I think Sunny to Cloud9 is also a good move, though. I think Sunny is like a really good player. So I'm excited to see... Sunny joined that lineup and what he can do. I think Cloud9 is getting a really good player that's hard to get. talent right now. Everyone seems to be on, you know, kind of a good footing on the teams. Like, there's not many names that just come to mind as free agents. So Cloud9 getting Sonny, I think, is a good move.
It's still a weird group, right? Cloud9? Like, it's
getting there. Now I feel like they're, like, finding pieces that fit to, like, fill roles, where I thought it was kind of a hodgepodge group, people that they were kind of bringing in. Yeah. And, you know, when it was, like, Refresh, Zealous, you know, Golden was out for a period of time, so you didn't know what his status was. Now you're kind of starting to see this formation kind of come together, and I think there's, you know, possibility for something interesting there. I think in bigger news right now is Dennis stepping away from NIP, and I say bigger news because it's close to my heart, along with Brett. Dennis stepping away from NIP, Draken coming back into the lineup. This would be his second stint with NIP, so he didn't have, like, the prettiest departure. Like, I just don't feel like
it wasn't on good terms. I didn't feel like it was.
I don't want to say it was on bad terms. Like, there wasn't, like, hatred openly being spewed, but it didn't feel comfortable, to say the least. So cool to see that whatever it is, they're working out. And another opportunity for Draken, and I think, you know, again, he was a young player when he joined NIP. It's a deserving shot while Dennis is out, and an opportunity to show what he can do.
Please don't let it be long term. I mean, they tried this experiment, right, with the same team, and it didn't work out.
But
and
sometimes the second time around, I know that doesn't happen often, but he's a young player that's getting a second opportunity. It's not a 10-year vet that they cut, and now they're bringing Freiburg back, you know? It'll be interesting to see what Draken has kind of gotten from the experience also of, you know, having been on the big stage, you know, getting demoted down and now getting a chance to rise again. It's a cool storyline, possibly.
It is kind of funny that we were talking about it post-major. You know, if they were going to make a move, it was going to be Dennis. I mean, it wasn't Nip making the move. It kind of sounds like it was Dennis's.
Yeah, he's stepping back from fatigue.
Away. But, I mean, it's...
You have TSM making their way back in CSGO with rumored to be talking to Scream and Existence. And Smooya.
That would be awesome, dude, to see TSM back into the field and then come out with a team like this right out of the gate.
I wonder if they've had a change of heart, though, because I remember when Astralis, now, you know, Astralis roster originally left TSM, I thought a major factor was because they didn't want to work with an EU team. Like, I thought that was a big struggle. Maybe that was more on the players' issues, having an NA organization rather than roles reversed. But you're right. It's going to be awesome to see TSM back in the mix.
And with those three players, you know, it's a good starting three at least. So
TSM also signed a Magic the Gathering card player today. So, I mean, they're making moves.
Dude, I took that off the list. I had that on here and I was like, Tim's not going to want to like
You don't think I saw that? You don't think I saw that?
Bro, and last but not least.
In the pre-show, I talked about how I follow a Yu-Gi-Oh! YouTuber, okay? So I think I follow Magic the Gathering.
Yeah. Yeah, if you haven't been watching WESG, it's a mess. So bad drivers weren't even installed on graphics cards and things of that sort. So I don't feel like anyone's missing out on
We're old school esports
there.
Now, boys.
And now ECS is starting back up. So league play is back, and that's exciting. First matches took place. So something to kind of keep an eye out for. And
call me old fashioned. I like league play more. Give me seasons.
I like seasons too. I wish there was a more of a focus on the seasons. It doesn't feel like there is, just with how many tournaments there are. Like, a season finale doesn't mean
that much more. Let's see how 2019 goes, though, because ECS and ESL aren't playing on top of each other. You know? So maybe with extended season play throughout the year, we won't see as many little tournaments here and there for these top tier teams.
And you don't get confused on when it's ECS or ESL and standings and.
Let's see how 2019 goes for now. But I do like the fact that it's like we get to see these teams play each other on preset maps. You're not having vetoes. You know, you're going to have teams forced to play on maybe some maps they're uncomfortable on. I think overall it helps increase play, you know, when you're playing as often and not on a... Yeah, the season's important, but you're not always on, you know, you're not on the biggest stage playing some rando team on whatever, right? Virtus Pro versus FaZe today. Yeah. It wasn't like your marquee matchup. So you can have teams like try different strategies or new things. So you know, it all depends. You got some teams that take it very serious and some teams that don't. And then you end up like Virtus Pro and relegated and your team roster blown up because you didn't take it serious. So, you know, our opinion, I think all of us always say you got to take online league play serious because that's how you get into the bigger tournaments.
That's true. Being a pro league team matters. In other news, Battle Royale news, Ace, actually, this is almost tied to Counter-Strike. Ace, formerly of EU United, you know, signed with NRG for Apex Legends. So they have their three-man squad. I guess we'll find out what actually happens with Apex Legends still. But Ace was a prominent name in the CSGO community, especially in the NA scene. I mean, he was very well known in the NA scene. He was a mid-tier player for quite some time and then, you know, fought all the way up to Pro League. But he got let go recently from EU United, didn't sign on with another team. Started playing Apex, and NRG signed him. I'm not going to lie, I was shocked when I saw Ace signs with NRG because I was like, oh my god, Circus, like a free agent or something. And then I realized it was for Apex. So threw me off a little bit there when I saw that. kind of my heart dropped a little bit. I was like, oh gosh, Cloud9, go grab him now. But that's not the case. He is going to be playing Apex Legends.
In other e-news, you have Smash Summit Ultimate ended up wrapping up over the weekend in Summit's new studio in their new home.
I saw you critique them.
Yeah, you know, I have my opinions, and I just thought I need to let them know. I'm not a huge fan of it. Maybe it will grow on me. I really liked the old Summit house where it was like it looked like an actual house. This looked a little bit too manicured for me. A little bit too set up. A little bit too studio. So, you know, it was still a really fun tournament, though. They have all these goofs and gaffs that they go on throughout the weekend. So it was still really fun to watch. It was fun to see Melee guys mixing with Ultimate players and Smash 4 players and everything. So that was really cool. MKLeo ended up defeating DaBuzz 3-0 in the finals. So not that eventful of a finals, but it was a fun tournament nonetheless. It is a sweet setup, though. I'm not going to lie. I would love to have like a just that type of a home where every room was a studio.
Well, yeah.
And other news. Anuj, I'll let you say this.
Oh, well, for those of you, I know we play a lot of games with a lot of our listeners. Division 2 is coming out this week. I know Brett and I will be playing. So if you have any interest, feel free to join us in Discord. We always love to play with you guys. So come on in, and we're always welcoming. I think that launches on Friday.
Yep. And that being said, we do play with our listeners a lot, too. So if you're in Discord, maybe you want to play Overwatch and not have to go through the struggle that is comp. Let us know. We can typically get a decent amount of people together at any moment to get a pug going. So I could do 12 mans all day. Much like in Counter-Strike, I could run 10 mans all day. Private rooms have always been better. And since the history of video game, private rooms have always been better. A la, look it back at Halo, right? Speaking of Halo, tomorrow, Microsoft is doing a press announcement. Oh, pretty solid rumor that they're announcing the Master Chief Collection for PC, fully bringing Halo back to the PC world. Praying to God it is not a cheap port and Microsoft really took the time to design it to properly feel like a PC game. So maybe we'll do a little bit of a quick hit on our YouTube page for that tomorrow.
The Master Chief Collection is all the Halos or what?
All of them minus Reach. So it's like Halo 1, 2, and 3. Oh, you know what? Now that I say that out loud, I think it's just 1, 2, and 3. I don't think it includes 4 or 5.
Okay.
Which is fine. No one plays those anyways. Unless you just wanted the story mode, but, you know. Just give me Halo 2 again. Give me Halo 2. Even though a lot of people want Reach, but I don't remember. I liked my classic. I liked my classic. Anyways, we'll talk more about that next week, though. We're on our YouTube. Again, you can always be sure to follow that and go from there. But that is going to do it for episode 147 of The Center Ring, a.k.a. TCR, a.k.a. your favorite esports podcast. We will be back next week talking some probably some more CSGO roster moves, CWL Fort Worth recap. By then, we should know all the teams in Stage 1 of Overwatch League for playoffs. So we'll maybe do a little bit of a preview there. We'll see. We'll see what's up. Esports is ever changing. Also, if you want us to talk about something specific, let us know on Twitter at The Center Ring. We will always take your suggestion to heart. Most likely talk about it because, you know, we ain't got a whole lot going on. Always keep an eye on YouTube. Like I said, we are going to start pumping out a little bit more content on there, a little bit of one-off discussions here and there, things that we didn't have time to fit into the longer end of the show, or just maybe not a fit as well, have a different tone to it. I don't know. But that will be all on YouTube. And again, our Twitter will have all those updates for you. That's all I got. Thank you for listening. If you skipped around or if you listened to the whole thing, I love you all the same. For Nuge, for Brett, I'm Tim. We'll see ya.